We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is nearly unfathomable to think about a fall without football. I don't even know how to comprehend that. It's such a major part of my life and my work. Really, my work dictates my life when it comes to the fall. And I'm okay with that. I mean, it's a grind, no doubt about it. And my weekends are not my own. And I say this all the time. And by the time we get to the playoffs, I'm good with it being almost over. I mean, I love the month of January with the playoffs. Of course, Super Bowl week is an incredible sprint for us as a show and for so many other media entities around the country. And so great to be in Miami and do the shows this year. But by that time, I'm usually good to have my weekends back. But I can't even fathom. Forget what we'll talk about, because we'll do what we have to do. But as a sports fan, to not have football on Saturdays and Sundays in late August, whether or not we have preseason games in the NFL, we're not sure yet. But September, October, November, December, January, I can't even go there. I don't even know how to process that. And so I'll deal with it. If we have to cross that bridge, well, then I'll cross it when I get there. But for now, I can't. I can't start to think about that because I would freak out. So no, that's not what we're going to talk about the rest of the show. How about we talk about grilled cheese tacos? Have you heard of this? Grilled cheese tacos. It's a new thing.
Where can I get some?
Are you serious? You would actually eat it?
Absolutely.
Okay, so grilled cheese taco is apparently a thing that's being tried out by Taco Bell. Let's Google it and see if we can get a debut date for you. Grilled cheese. Oh, wait. It's grilled cheese burrito. Does that change your mind?
No. Where it's coming
from. Are
you
serious?
Changes my mind. Not what it is.
Okay. Oh, well, I mean, did you really expect a reputable Mexican restaurant? Okay. That's mean.
I don't know where it's coming from. But
Taco Bell is a fast food joint. Okay. So they've got this new thing called the grilled cheese burrito. Yay or nay?
Yeah, I'll try it.
What would you put in a grilled cheese burrito? This is the description from Taco Bell. A burrito topped with grilled cheese. So maybe it's not the... All it is cheese that's been grilled. It has nothing to do with the actual sandwich. Well, that's kind of disappointing.
Not what I was hoping for.
No. The picture is interesting. So, I don't know. I think I would just take straight grilled cheese. I'm kind of done with unique food experiments. After the peanut butter burger was not anything what I thought it was going to be. I mean, I was hoping. I tried it. I told you I would, and I did. It just, it wasn't what I was expecting. I'm kind of sad about it. It didn't ruin peanut butter, nor did it ruin burgers for me, but I just kept expecting there to be some melding of the flavors, and it didn't happen. I don't know that I'm going to do grilled cheese burrito either. I think, actually, if all they're doing is putting grilled cheese, so not the sandwich, but they're grilling the cheese and putting that on top of the burrito, that it's kind of cheesy, right? I mean, you're essentially taking one of America's favorite quick lunches, quick snacks, and you're using that name to make it seem like this burrito is something really unique, when in actuality, it's just more cheese.
Yeah, I don't like it anymore.
Yeah, it's cheesy. Okay, but how about this, Dave? I just found a list from thedailymeal.com of the top foods of 2020 through the first 6 months. As you can imagine, it has changed because of the fact that we can't go to restaurants in many places. And for a good portion of the spring, no restaurants were open. So this is kind of interesting. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, and also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Phone number 855-212-4227. 855-212-4CBS. So here we go. This is according to thedailymeal.com, but they used food ordering services. Okay, so things like Grubhub, Uber Eats, is that still a thing? DoorDash, is that another one?
Yeah.
And then wait, there's one more that I just heard on a TV show. Postmates? Is that still a thing?
Sounds familiar, but I couldn't tell you.
All right. That sounds to me too much like Playmates, and so I couldn't order my food from there. But apparently this list is compiled from food ordering services. Okay, so here are your top winter 2020 food trends. And essentially what this website does is it's comparing January to June from a year ago to what it's been this year. And so, yeah, it's different than what you might think. Would you like to guess any of them?
I mean, I would assume that pizza has to be on this list. Just what else are you ordering in?
In the wintertime?
I eat pizza any day, anywhere, anytime. I'll eat it on a beach.
But maybe not specific to the winter, though. Okay, so here's one that does not surprise me at all. New England clam chowder bowls. So apparently during the wintertime, one of the top foods ordered on these services by people who were stuck at home, New England clam chowder bowls, a 195% increase over a year ago as America was forced to shelter in place. That was number two on the list.
I would have never guessed that.
But how about number one on the list? You may never guess this one either. A 238% increase over 2019. So same time period, first 6 months of 2019 versus 2020. 238% increase, meaning astronomical numbers in the winter. Chicken sandwiches. That was the top food ordered on these ordering services in the winter of 2020. I'm just saying. I mean, what about that whole Popeyes versus Chick-fil-A thing? Do you think that carried over and then people got bored during the pandemic and being at home, and so they decided they would continue the taste testing?
I guess. I mean, I like a good chicken sandwich as much as the next person, mm-hmm. but why is that, like, just, I don't know. Why is it going through the roof all of a sudden?
People get addicted to their Chick-fil-A. And then, I mean, I can't tell you how many people told me this winter that they were missing Chick-fil-A. My own nieces said that to me. I want to go to Chick-fil-A.
I mean, maybe it's just where I live, but there aren't many where I live on Long Island. I don't know if it's around the country more.
I mean, you're just missing out. So the top prize for largest popularity increase from a year ago, chicken sandwiches, 238% jump. How about that? So number one trend in winter from food ordering services, chicken sandwiches. Number two, New England clam chowder bowls. Number three, this one's a little weird, barbecue burgers. Up 132% on Grubhub specifically over the winter.
That sounds good.
Barbecue burgers. Interesting. And then number four on the list, sausage, egg, and cheese sandwiches, which I do really love. It doesn't specify which restaurants or outlets, but up 100% from a year ago. So while we were staying home in the winter, first 6 months of 2020, we were eating, Number five is weird. I'll say it, but it's weird. Chicken sandwiches, New England clam chowder bowls, barbecue burgers, sausage, egg, and cheese. If those are some of your staples throughout the first 6 months of 2021, then you contributed to these numbers. Here is number five, which I've never tried in my life, but it was still up nearly 100% in winter of 2020. Tauntaun ramen. Nothing about ramen appeals to me anymore. That was my college phase. Nothing about ramen.
Like ramen noodles, like 17 cents a packet ramen noodles?
Well,
is that what we're
but
talking about?
They've dressed it up. Tauntaun ramen. Alrighty, oh. Are you ready for these spring trends? You're going to laugh
Why
at these.
Not?
Okay, so again, these are trends that show which, from the food ordering services, or just in general, what was that we're eating so much more this year than a year ago. And this totally makes sense to me. But number one in the spring, donuts. Why? Because we were stressed, and when you are stressed, you eat more sugar. It's just, it's biological. When you're stressed, your body craves sugar. 214% jump. So apparently, as healthy as we were during the spring, getting outside and exercising, we felt like we could eat more donuts. So donuts was number one. Bacon, egg, and cheese biscuits. So not sausage, egg, and cheese this time, but bacon, egg, and cheese biscuits. Really popular in the spring. Trend number two. Sausage burritos. Trend number three. Wowzers. 163% increase in orders in 2020 versus 2019.
Sausage burrito?
Yeah, sausage burritos. And then do you know that chicken sandwiches was still in the top five in the spring? Number four, though. It was only number four. I'm telling you, this is a carryover from everybody freaking out and trying to taste test chicken sandwiches in 2019. But yeah, I mean, staying power from chicken sandwiches. All right, let's see. Top breakfast orders. These are kind of interesting. I've never ordered breakfast myself, but I'll run through these. Acai bowls. Is that how you say it? Acai bowls?
Acai bowls.
Acai bowls. Yeah. Okay, so they're super healthy, or supposed to be super healthy. And so they were the number one breakfast trend. Mexican dishes like chorizo burrito, potato pancakes. Ooh, I love those. My Grammy and I had potato pancakes the last time I visited her in Wisconsin. They were so good. Shrimp and grits. 179% increase in breakfast ordering in 2020.
I don't think I've ever had that.
I mean, I've had grits and I've had shrimp, but I've never had the two together. All right, the lunch trends are kind of foo-foo, but I'll read them anyway. Thai chicken salad. Tuna salad, chicken avocado melts, kale Caesar salads, and, oh, Tom Brady, eat your heart out, avocado toast. What is happening to the United States of America that these are our top lunch trends? What happened to the chicken sandwich?
Yeah, I like that a lot more than avocado toast.
All right, you're gonna hate the dinner trends, but these are, once again, according to food order services like Grubhub, the dinner trends, rigatoni bolognese. Okay, I've never tried that ever. I eat rigatoni. Lamb vindaloo. I've never even heard of that. What is lamb vindaloo?
I don't know what vindaloo is, but
I don't either.
I'll try it.
Lamb is really good, though. I love lamb. Vegetable korma. Mushu pork. And then salmon avocado rolls. Holy cow. Well, these are things that you wouldn't likely make at home much, but all right, I'll do one more list because these, I feel like, appeal to more to our audience, maybe, because we do the late night snacking, right? I mean, many of us do snacking late at night. I've got snacks that I'm keeping close to me while I'm doing the show. All right, so would you like to guess any of these?
Which list is this?
This is late night trends.
Oh, boy.
Top late night orders of the first 6 months of 2020.
Is pizza on that one?
Well, pizza puffs. I mean, can't you just eat pizza? Why do you have to have a pizza puff?
I don't know.
I don't either. But here, these are, I mean, these are pretty standard. Number one late night trend, cheesy breadsticks. People love their breadsticks. Number two, strawberry cheesecake.
Wow.
I could eat some of that right now. Strawberry cheesecake. Number three, sliders. Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. We have this incredible pizza place in my neighborhood. It's been there for, you know, decades. It's authentic Italian family-owned business. I know a lot of towns have one. But whenever we order from that place as a family, my other family members, we get pizza, but they always have to have sliders. Always. I mean, I'm not a big fan of sliders myself, but I have some friends and family members that no matter where we go, they always get sliders for appetizers. And number four late night trend, according to Food Order Services in 2020, jalapeno poppers.
Those are good.
Yeah, well, they're on the list. Oh, my gosh. This is making me hungry, and I feel like this was a bad idea. Just telling you, the number one trend overall, when you put it all together, is the chicken sandwich. You can't go wrong with a chicken sandwich, ever. Now, see, wasn't that a nice respite from talking about all the depressing news in sports? I kind of think it was.
Made me hungry.
Once we figure out that Taco Bell is just yanking our chain and we can't actually get the grilled cheese on a burrito, it was cheating. They cheated. But those other foods, whew, I bet that right now if we wanted to, in Lower Manhattan, we couldn't get food. I don't even know if anybody's delivering. Are they still delivering?
That's good. I mean, I don't know about this hour. We'll have to find out.
Vending machines? Are they still filling them in the building?
It's another good question. I'm going to have to investigate on
the
break.
Do you dare touch the vending machines?
I'd prefer not to.
Gloves?
I didn't have to.
Gloves anywhere?
Eh. I'm going to heat up my food on the break. I'll tell you that much.
All right, so you're touching the microwave.
I grab a paper towel and I open it with it because I don't have a glove handy. But
I have thought about whether or not I would like to use the vending machines or the microwave upon returning. But I don't. I'm not there yet. Not quite there yet. So for now, it's fruit and yogurt. All right. Well, that was fun. I love talking about food. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page. So, college football fans, how you feeling? It was another, not fatal blow, but another painful blow. I don't think it knocked us out, but it definitely did. It dazed and grazed us, grazed and dazed us. So on either of our social media or on our phones, 855-212-4227.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I actually did make chili this week. It's probably weird when the temperatures are approaching 100 outside and it's humid, but it doesn't feel that way inside the house because before Penny and I could move in, we, of course, had to have central air. There are two things that I am, well, three. There are three things, we'll call them, there's a word I'm thinking of and I can't recall it, like pull it out of my brain right now. There are conveniences. That's what I'm thinking of. There are three conveniences that I must have. I can go with an old car, though Princess Leia is fantastic. But I once drove a car that had 300,000 miles on it and I was perfectly fine with it. I don't buy new stuff until the stuff I have craps out. In fact, I have hand-me-down furniture. My spare bedroom is furniture that my grandfather gave me when I was 13. My actual bedroom furniture came from my mom, going way back to when we lived in New Hampshire. And so I don't care about having new stuff. I still wear shoes that are 15 years old because my feet haven't grown and I keep good care of them. In fact, actually, this is kind of fun. When I lost the 20 pounds that I did last year, I had this pair of my favorite pair of Capri jeans, and they're 13 years old because I remember when I was wearing them. They're old, and I love them, and now I can wear them again. Boom! Anyway, so I keep stuff is what I'm saying. I don't throw things out and get new stuff just for the heck of it. But there are three conveniences that I have to have in my life. Number one is a dishwasher. I cannot go without a dishwasher. I lived without a dishwasher for many years, And it's, I can't. I need to have a dishwasher. And I'm very thankful for the one that I had. But yeah, I looked at a few houses before I bought the one that I did. And the ones that didn't have a dishwasher, sorry. Sorry, Charlie, can't do it. Need to have HDTV. I mean, I will watch old stuff, but I have to watch it in HD. I've turned into an HD snob. I don't need a big TV. In fact, you're all going to laugh at me now when I tell you that my television is only 32 inches. That's it. I don't have a larger television than that. I do find, and I only have one TV, but I did finally get rid of the tube TV. Nobody would take it. I had to, they have to recycle it in my town. But until 5 years ago, I still had a tube TV. it still worked just fine. So, but after a while though, it wouldn't get HD, and I can't, like I said, I can't go without HD. So I'm an HD snob. I have to have a dishwasher. And the third thing is I have to have central AC. I cannot stand the wall units. They're so loud, and at least the ones that I've ever had. And I don't like window units because inevitably there's bugs coming in around the sides. Like, it's such a pain in the rear to put them in, take them out, especially when you're on the second floor. Absolutely not. I can't do it. So when I first bought the house, I knew it didn't have central AC. I do not know how the older couple, well, you know, sometimes older people, they wear sweaters when it's 90 degrees out. So maybe that's how. I don't know how they lived without AC, but Penny and I must have AC. It's a requirement. I blame Penny, but I need it just as much as she does. I cannot sleep when I don't have air condition in the worst heat and humidity. So anyway, it was fine to make chili this week. That was the whole point of that story. Yeah. Don't ask me how that happens. I get on these tangents. I told you, my brain is like a plate of spaghetti. I pull one strand out and they're all interconnected, and then a whole blob of spaghetti or information in my brain comes falling out as well. So that's why you get these stories that include tangents. But I did make chili this week, and it was hot. I used hot chili powder, but it was delicious. And I found that putting a dollop of sour cream, and by dollop, I mean generous spoonful, by putting a generous spoonful of sour cream on top, it actually balances the heat a bunch. And so my nose still runs, but I don't put jalapenos in my chili. That they make the top of my head burn. So it was a good balance.
Inside, that's awesome.
Inside the house, it was just fine to eat chili. That was quite a scenic route I just took there to get to the part about the chili. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. If you would like to share with me your three conveniences, well, you know, you can do that too on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page. And then our phone number is 855-212-4227. I guess I should be serious again, but I'm not really in the mood. 855-212-4CBS. We'll let you hear more from the Big Ten Commissioner, Kevin Warren. And also, I told you that we've got a little bit on the NBA actually starting practices. If we could get, is Brian working with us tonight? Brian has been relatively quiet. It's been like quiet as a pipsqueak. No, that's a little person. It's quiet as a church mouse. And so we haven't heard much from Brian yet, but if Brian could find the photos, in fact, I'm pretty sure the NBA, I'm just going to do Brian's job for him. I'm pretty sure the NBA put out photos of the practice courts, before the various teams got started. This is not where they're going to play their games, because that would be weird, but they have set up practice courts side by side, actually, in some cases, and they did start practices on Thursday, even as the rest of the teams were arriving. So the Lakers didn't arrive until Thursday. The world champion Raptors didn't arrive until Thursday. If I'm not mistaken, the Rockets just arrived on Thursday. So anyway, Brian, if you would like to retweet some of those photos from the NBA account, that'd be cool. So we will talk a little bit about the NBA as well, but Tom is listening in Huntsville, Alabama. Tom, welcome to After Hours CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy. I hope you're doing well.
Thank you. I am.
I do need to tell you that you have gotten me through another catastrophe in my life. I don't remember. I don't know if you remember, but I had a tumor and divorce and a brain tumor and everything. And y'all got me through it all. And now you have gotten me through COVID.
Well, it's so not quite over yet, so you can't stop listening.
Oh, no. I don't plan on stopping. I've been listening since you were with the four-letter guys, and I'm very thankful you're with CBS now.
Me too.
Your whole demeanor has changed. You sound very happy every night.
Well, sometimes it's fake, but I'm good at faking it if I have to. I mean, we're not always all happy all the time, but it's a concerted effort, and it's just all about mental focus, because nobody wants to hear me moan and complain. So,
exactly. I do need to tell you, I had that grilled cheese burrito the other night, and it's very good, by the way. It is it's a regular burrito.
Okay.
And then they wrap it in another tortilla with cheese in that, and then they actually put it in a grill press. So it is a grilled cheese with the burrito on the inside of the grilled cheese tortilla as well, and it's excellent.
So then you don't have your sandwich, but what you have is an extra burrito shell serving as the bread to go along with the cheese.
You had the burrito,
right?
Cheese, and then a bigger,
right,
tortilla around the whole thing.
Right. Yes. So that's what I'm saying. You have instead of having two slices of bread, you have another tortilla wrapping up the inner tortilla with more cheese. So that's interesting. Okay. Yes. So that sounds more like a grilled cheese concept.
Yeah. Huh. And it's very good.
How much was it?
Oh, it was in their $5 box going on there. So it comes with a regular taco, and then I got nachos and cheese on top of that.
Oh, my gosh. You had your cheese fix for the entire week.
Oh, and a drink. And a drink as well. So
you know what?
$5.
I don't know if there's a Taco Bell near where I live, but now I'm intrigued. That's interesting. I appreciate the review, Tom. Thank you.
You need to try it if you're getting my wife is a keto girl, and she needed a cheat day. So we went and got a $5 box, and she got her keto cheat day filled.
Awesome. So this is kind of funny. The question wasn't actually posed to me on Ask Amy Anything this week, but I did go back and see someone had asked me if I've ever done they spelled it K-E-T-O diet, right? And I responded with, I can't even pronounce it. I don't know the right way to pronounce it. So, of course, I've never done it. Now, I'm not that sophisticated, but I'm proud of your wife. That's amazing.
Yeah, I've heard you talk about the diet that you've been on, and it sounds like it is very similar to a keto diet. Basically, it's just no bread, no sugar, basically.
But oh, dear God.
And no pasta, so you would die from that.
Because, heck no.
Being the Italian girl. But
heck no.
there are substitutions. You can eat all the... the weird thing is you can eat all the fat you want. Beef,
no. Negative.
That sort of stuff.
Negative.
Not a problem.
I can't. No, absolutely not. How in the world do you cut all sugar out of... I can't do it. So
well, there's substitutes. I mean, eat stevia instead of... sugar, which is another natural.
Right. Now I get it. I use Truvia in my coffee, but I still can't imagine not having any other sugar. So I kind of like the one that I did. My mom and I did Weight Watchers, which essentially you can eat whatever you want. You just have to count your points. And so, I still did eat pasta, though I eat whole wheat pasta. The big thing for me was cutting out dairy, not completely, but really limiting, because I'm a big dairy girl. And I used to drink a gallon of milk every 3 days. And that is now a gallon of milk lasts in my fridge for almost 2 weeks, which is, nearly unheard of. But that was the hard thing for me. Tom, thank you for your review. And it's good to hear from you. And glad you're doing well. Listening in Huntsville.
Thank you very much.
Yes. Have a great Friday. After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. Like I said, I don't really feel like being depressing and Debbie Downer. So I'm not really there yet. But we'll get back to the Big Ten's decision and potential fallout, of course. And then... let's see. Oh, NBA starting its practices as the rest of the teams arrive in the Bublé. Here's our latest sports update. I love Michael Bublé. And here's Bob Hughes. Oh gosh. can we completely pretend that didn't happen?
I don't speak Spanish.
I've lost all control. Here's Bob Usler, Amy.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
That is the voice of Ohio State football coach Ryan Day putting his statement out on social media. And I know it's very broad spectrum, very big picture to say this, but it may not be that the virus numbers are spiking in your area. It may not be that that people in your area are not wearing masks when they're with other groups of people. So it may not be in your area, but we're all interconnected. And even with travel restrictions, and you know, some states have tried to mandate that people coming from high virus areas right now that they quarantine when they travel. It's not easily enforceable. I'm not even sure if it's illegal. I hear various takes on that. There certainly are some stipulations in place that, you know, are trying to prevent people from moving around too much and taking the virus with them if they come from high virus areas, yada, yada, yada. You know the drill. So it may not even be that your area is seeing a spike or that your area has people who don't want to wear masks. The problem is that the big four sports and then college football and some of the other college sports, it's unfortunate that we don't spend as much time talking about the other college sports because they're all affected as well. But football is the big revenue producer. These are nationwide, and in some cases they are across North America. I mean, we know that the Toronto Blue Jays needed a special permission, special allowance from the Canadian government to be able to use their own facilities to start their summer camp. So it's weird to say because we're supposed to be keeping our distance and staying separate, and yet it's all interconnected because these are continent-wide sports leagues, and you can't logistically keep them all in a bubble. It's impossible to do with college football in the NFL. It would never work. Obviously, with basketball, it's going to be hard enough. With the NHL, you're talking about two different hub cities, but they're not necessarily in a bubble. You know, we're looking at what happens with Orlando and the MLS, and it you know, two teams try to get there and they can't even get through the testing protocols upon their arrival in Orlando, and the MLS has to shuffle the groups and kind of restart. Now, it's great the tournament's still moving forward, but this is the time to be stringent when it comes to following protocols. I'm not saying it's the fault of the players that they showed up in Orlando with the virus, but however they got it, even if they got it from a teammate, I mean, somebody had it first and brought it into their team atmosphere. A lot of athletes are asymptomatic because they're in great shape, and that's just kind of the trends that we've seen. But whether or not they know who had it first, I mean, that's what's riding on this when you're talking about athletes who are getting together and who are practicing even before they start playing games in the case of baseball and basketball and hockey and football. Is one guy or one member of the travel party, maybe it's a female, could have the virus, and before you know it, it's spread to another five or six people because of the close contact. Now, it's great to hear the various teams in baseball, basketball as well, where they've got athletes who are virus-free. They've been tested multiple times. They've entered the bubble, or they've shown up at their facilities, and they're good to go. And I do think once they do the intake testing, which is essentially, we got to get everybody in first. Once they do that testing and they're able to come up with negative results for everyone, well, then you feel a little bit better because at least they're all starting in a place where they're clean. They're not bringing the virus in with them. And so the testing is so important. Some people have questioned whether or not it's fair to use all these tests on athletes when there are still people out there in the, you know, greater society who also have to take the test. Now, it doesn't seem as though we have a test shortage anymore. In fact, I've even heard I think it was the governor of New York. I was listening to the news in the car, but I'm pretty sure it was Governor Cuomo, who was saying that now we want to start testing people who don't have symptoms, so to try to catch it even before people are symptomatic. So if that's the case, if you're testing people that don't have symptoms, well, then you know you have test availability, which is great because we didn't have that when we started. So it's a lot of testing and it's a lot of responsibility. But I still say that when you look at the numbers, the majority of guys are clean. The majority of athletes, the majority of the travel parties, they're good to move forward. It just may be that we have a couple of teams that get pulled out, that get sidelined, that have to forfeit a game here or there. Now, in the case of MLS, because this tournament is relatively short, you know, it's a few weeks. I mean, maybe 5-6 weeks, but they don't want to take any chances. So they're taking a hard line stance and they've booted Nashville and Dallas. They made those tough decisions. In the case of the NFL, or I guess it would depend in the NBA when they caught the team that had a few people with the virus. I suspect, and really what Adam Silver has said, is they're hoping to pull the people, not the team. So pull an athlete or a member of a travel party who has the virus and put them in quarantine until they're clear. The whole point is, though, you have to catch it before they are around other people. And so it's dicey. It's not an exact science. And certainly there have to be anxiety and nerves around this whole process. But this is the new normal for professional sports now as the Big Four try to get into action. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So we had heard from Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren earlier in the show, and he said he felt like they couldn't wait on the announcement anymore because of the athletes that were kind of hanging in the balance because of the difficulty of scheduling and logistics. They had to go ahead and make this decision now as opposed to waiting until any later in July. And then he explains why they decided all non-conference competitions should be eliminated.
One of the things that was most important to us was the flexibility of scheduling all the operations. You know, it's much easier if we're just working with our Big Ten institutions from a scheduling standpoint, from a traveling standpoint, you know, all of those issues that go into having our student athletes compete. And because otherwise, when you start working outside your conference, you put yourself in a position where there are enough issues that we're dealing with already, but then you add on top of it the issues of travel and just the logistics associated with it. And so we felt that at the end of the day, this decision would allow us to, one, do the right thing by our student athletes, keep them at the forefront of all of our decisions, and make sure we create an environment to give us the best chance to play. I mean, one thing we have to realize that this is not a fait accompli that we're going to have sports in the fall. We may not have sports in the fall. We may not have a college football season in the Big Ten. And so we just wanted to make sure that this was a next logical step to always to rely on our medical experts to keep our student athletes at the center of all of our decisions and make sure that they are as healthy as they possibly can be from a mental, a physical, and emotional health and wellness standpoint.
Here's what I'll say when I hear Kevin Warren. I hear that this is the step they believe they have to make so they can have football. And yes, there are other sports that are affected as well in the fall. So it's not just college football that's losing its non-conference schedule. It's the other sports as well. Football's the moneymaker. Trust me. I mean, take this for gospel when I tell you these conference commissioners from the Power Five care far more about college football playing than you do. Trust me, you may be the most diehard fan out there. They still care more than you do. Why? Because it is billions of dollars for their member institutions. They're losing a lot of money by canceling non-conference games in the Big Ten. I mean, we're talking about buku TV revenue as well as ticket sales and on and on and on. So they're taking a hit financially. But they're doing everything they can. It's about flexibility, Kevin Warren says. It's about being able to adjust and having that ability to adjust their schedule should they need to make more changes down the road. But I promise you, they care far more about having college football this year than even you do, because most of these member institutions fund their entire athletic departments and then some with college football. So they're going to do everything they can to try to get these seasons underway.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.